Amen. Matthew 18. Now, Father, we ask and receive this evening insight and revelation in the Lord of your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask for fresh application of the truth concerning the walk we have in love. Everyone here is born of your Spirit and has the capacity to do exactly what you will do in every situation concerning relationships. Therefore, Father, we receive insight that all of us will walk in our own, walk in our true nature in Christ, to behold Him, Jesus your Son, as He sees us in Him. Amen. Matthew 18, binding and loosing. Matthew 18, you know the background already, so we'll just go to verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, we have said that the background of this account isn't just about forgiveness. We said it's about what? Come on, talk to me. Reconciliation, which is you don't just forgive, you also reconcile. We said there can be biblical forgiveness if there is no reconciliation. There must be reconciliation for it to be biblical forgiveness. And that's what binding and losing means. And then we saw that. So reconciliation is very important. In other words, why is reconciliation important? Because the Father, okay, He teaches by precept and by example relationship. We must be relationship conscious. And I said last week that the love of God does not go to the divorce court. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? The love of God does not go to the divorce court. Now, I'm not saying that someone cannot drag the love of God there. You know, you're walking in love, but the other person is not walking in love. Okay, but the love of God does not go to the divorce court. And in Christian relationships, we must allow our true culture to influence what we do. I like how someone said it a couple of days ago. He said, the gospel must not be preached, all right, with a culture in mind. The gospel must be preached as its own culture. The gospel does not adapt itself to a culture. The gospel has its own culture. And we find that in Christ. So reconciliation is vital. That we make up. And you know, some folks don't know how to make up with others. They say, well, for me, that's it. You know, and they say, that's it for me. You know, but you're now a Christian. It's not for you. It's now for Him. Amen. I said, amen. So we bind and loose. Alright. So funny that many folks have read that verse a lot for demons. And demons, they will bind and loose demons. And really, every time they bind and loose demons, they are the ones that are bound. Eventually. So we bind and loose. Reconciliation is important. Jesus said, if someone offends you, you go to him first. You go to him. If he fails to hear you, then you take two or three people. And then if they fail to hear, if he fails to hear them, probably, then you tell it to the church. Then he fails to hear the church. Then you treat the fellow like a sinner, a publican, and a tax collector, a sinner and a publican. That's what you ought to do. Now, look at the word bind. We've seen it before. Let's just see it one more time. The word the bind is the word deo in the Greek, deo. It shows an obligation. Acts 20 verse 22, Paul says, bound in the Spirit. In other words, I'm obligated. So, when you are bound, or when you bind, there's an obligation, alright? So, whenever there is if someone hurts you, okay, rather than get offended, you bind the offense. You bind yourself. And then rather keep the person in unforgiveness, you lose the person. That's what he's saying. You bind yourself and lose the person. Amen. I said amen. Well, we used to do demon stuff. You know, we say, I bind you, I tie you with spiritual rope, and I dump you into the Red Sea. Then a brother came and said, why are we doing Red Sea? He said, the demons go to the Red Sea, they can come back. He said, let's put them in the bottomless sea. So he said, all right now, we will bind you, and then we'll take you into the bottomless sea. And so it was. You know, but then you go to the prayer service and some people say, we bind you, some say we lose you. So as this one is binding his own, the other person is losing it. And so the whole place is full of bound and loose things. So it says we lose. The word lose is the word luo, L-U-O, which I want you to pay attention to. There are two places where we can find the use of that word. It means to actually annul or release. Annul or release. In Revelation 1:5, where you find washed from our sins, Revelation 1:5 is the same word luo, to lose from sin. To lose from sin. To lose from sin. So Jesus is saying, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. The word wash there is the Greek word lose. To lose from our sins. It means to let go from sin. Now, you know, oftentimes we find ourselves in situations where people do not even admit that they've done wrong. They don't even admit it. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't even admit he has done wrong. So, you know what? Just treat him like a sinner and a publican, and which means you lose him. Right? In other words, you will not hold that against the fellow. Because for some of us, that's a ground to beat, as we say it in Nigeria, to beat the person. He did the wrong stuff. I told him. He didn't admit it. Next week, we're going to treat that old cell. What if the person refuses to admit? And we look at the Word of God about that. What if he refuses to admit? And he says, well, I'm not wrong. He says, what? Sometimes you feel, eh? So what did I do? Say, eh? You feel holy anger. You want to vex. But he says, you wash the person off the sins. So the very same thing that God did for us in Christ, we were washed from our sins. We did not change. How did you change before you were forgiven? So you can get saved now. If you change before you were forgiven, we'll just preach the gospel to you all over again. So you can be born again. No? So he says you treat the person like a sinner and a publican. So you wash him, as I said, lose whatever you lose on earth. Shall lose them. Another place we can see it in Ephesians 2:14, where it's similar as well. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who has made but one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition. He has broken down the middle wall of partition to take away. So whenever you find the word lose, it means to take away something that is an hindrance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I bind myself from unforgiveness to forgive. I lose the other person from the offense. I don't hold it against him anymore. You know, you can say, well, you know, I don't hold it against you anymore. Imagine we do that. I say, you've done something wrong, but I don't hold it against you anymore. And we say it so often, the guy says, please hold it now. You know, just hold it once and for all. I mean, there's no point, you know, telling me. Just like God said, well, I've forgiven you, but I just wanted to know that it hurts me to know I've forgiven you, but I have. It's painful for me to realize I have to forgive you. I'm not regretting, but I just want you to know I have forgiven you. You know, it sounds more like that. I believe that many things some of us teach sometimes, some people teach is philosophy, and some teach it like philosophy, like, you know, if you want to progress in life, set your heart whether there's anything that's unforgiveness there. Look at it, if you want to progress in life, I can hear that in a philosophy class, what progress in life, you know, you want to progress in life, praise God, check it. I was telling you last week, I was engaging someone about there are laws in the New Testament. Laws! There are laws in the New Testament. I said, like which one? He said, the law of love. I said, where is that one? There's none like you. Then he said, well, the law of faith. I said, every law in the New Covenant isn't for us to do. Every law in the New Covenant tells us what God has done. The law of faith. In the law of faith, it says there's no boasting, but the law of faith. Not of what? Law of faith. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free. Amen. Romans 8:2. James 1, verse 23 and 24. It says the perfect law of liberty, or better put, the law of perfect liberty. That's not what you do. That's what sets you free. So I agree with what you're saying. But I said, now let me ask you a question. And this is the point. I said, if a believer doesn't do those things, if he doesn't, these instructions you have lined out, if he doesn't do those things, is God going to punish him? He says, no. So why do you call them laws? If someone is a law, it must have a consequence. Yeah, well, they are not laws. Then what are they? You know, the minute you begin to take merit for doing the word, you are getting to legalism. You don't take merit for doing the word. I can do that. You know, that's no longer God's word. That's now legalism. Hallelujah. All right, we'll take that later. Amen. Where were we? Because sometimes you can read the scriptures with a legalistic mindset. If you want peace of mind, if you want to be healthy, you want to be healthy. You know, I know there's a whole lot of doctors who tell you, cleanse your heart from hurt. You know, so sometimes the pastor also says the same thing. Pastor doctor. Cleanse your heart. So, you know, think about it. You now see some guys who all their lives are politicians. And they live long. Politicians don't walk in love. You don't know? Oh, you don't know. Politicians don't walk in love. They walk in love by not walking in love. And some of them, they go after people. Some of them are very tough. And then they live long, some 100 years. You find some other folks who are so nice, you know, say, oh, what happened? How come this nice guy? You know, so it defeats your theology. Because you don't forgive so that you can get something. You forgive because you are born of God. Hallelujah. How many of us breathe so that we can get money? Now you're going to breathe. As you breathe now, you get money. Oh, then that means you shouldn't breathe normally. We love because we're born of God. We don't love so that God will. No. We love because we're born of God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The word fruit of the Spirit is the word kapos. In the Greek, it means if you have a conception that is just like a man's sperm goes into the woman's egg, and then the child is the fruit. All right? That means the Spirit of God comes into us. The fruit is love. Is that clear? All right? Not that we produce love. No. It's God who produced love in us. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? All right. So that's your nature. So Jesus isn't giving you a new set of rules to keep. And then you get punished if you don't. No, that's really who you are. So Matthew 18. You learning something? Matthew 18. He says, now he gives a parable. We've been through this parable already. Where a fellow holds his master, king actually. He holds in a lot of money. And we looked at the distinction last week. 10,000 talents. We said dollars. $10,000 to, we said the other one will be 100 naira. I remember that $10,000 to 100 naira. You owe $10,000, the king forgives you. He says, no problem, you can go. You say, I can't pay this one, I can't do it. But for your grace, you know, something else, that's not. But for your grace, I will not be saved. Oh, you will cry, you cry, you cry. This is my story. Majesty. You say, your grace has found me just as I am, just as I am. Empty and dead, I'm alive, alive in your head. And then somebody annoys you, you say, no, I want to see the proof. The proof that you are truly going to change. You are always, I don't know, you are always saying, sorry. Am I going to eat sorry? I believe that many of us don't actually agree with some of the things we preach. It's too real to be real. So he says, and the man goes back and he takes hold of someone who holds him a hundred naira to $10,000. You know, 100 naira, if you steal 100 naira and $10,000, you won't be arrested. Why would they arrest you? They would think it's just missing. You know. So to what you all hold people ransom for, is that comparable? You don't look at yourself from the light of you owe, people owe you, and you go, my God, do you know what you took me? You know, people are like that. Maybe someone is your brother. He breaks your favorite glass cup. Bah! You look at the person with two eyes. Guy says, sorry. Sorry for your life. You're angry. You throw up. Then one day, you break something bigger than that. Wow. My God, I didn't see it. Oh my God. John, come and take this thing. Then the John says, what happened to that? What happened? Are you the one that bought that? My brother was. My dad bought a Mercedes Benz years ago, brand new. And then it was like the king of the area, that particular car. And my brother took the car and he bashed the car. And then my dad said, oh, no. He said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Some of you knew my brother. He said, I'm sorry. He said, my dad said, what is it? But I'm sorry. But daddy, haven't you bashed a car before? And then I said, you have the temerity to ask me that question. I said, look what you do, where you are doing it to you. I remember that you bashed that one car, you ain't even telling me. I'm laughing in one corner. This is the guy that handles you well. Me, I'm a preacher. So you tell me. This is the guy that handles you well. Yes, Lord. But you my God. I didn't see the thing. I told you I didn't see it. That's what happened. I didn't do it deliberately. And that's the plain truth. You know, sometimes we get so judgmental that what we don't judge ourselves with, we judge others with. And you discover that Jesus was so close to sinners, you think, he wasn't God. How can you be close to sinners? You eat their food. You take their kisses. Don't forget. On the lips. No. On the feet. You take their anointing oil. You take their money. And then, he couldn't even stand hypocrites. Because hypocrites will be screaming against something they think in their heart. And I always say this. When you see someone always talk about something, no. Is that like something he does or he wishes he could do? Is that like something he does or he wishes he could do? And Jesus said, hey, you don't have to do what Jesus said. He said, if you look in your heart lustfully, everybody goes, oh, Jesus. No, it's, oh, Jesus. If you look in your heart lustfully, you are, oh, Jesus. Jesus, don't go further. Don't go further. If you in your heart hate someone. You know, people hate and they smile. He said, you have killed the person you have killed. Oh, Jesus. Don't go to the heart. Stay where men can see. Don't go to where God can see. Amen. Sometimes we're just hypocrites. So he says, you forgive. So in this parable, don't forget again, the master now comes back and he says in verse 35, Jesus is speaking. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. It means, look up everybody, unforgiveness is a sin. What did he say? Do you know we don't think it's a sin? And do not forget that we started by saying the word amatano means that the person offended you. So it's not like you'll find a scripture and verse for what the person did. You get it? It's not, there won't be a scripture and verse in the, well, this is what the Bible says. No. It's you now. Then he says, hey, forgive. You said, no, you hold on. He said, the moment. Listen now, don't get it wrong. The moment you don't forgive, that becomes a sin. No longer between you and the brother, it's now between you and God. Now, you know, the initial issue was you and the brother. That's why I said, go to him, take two or three people, tell to the church. But the moment you hold on to unforgiveness, it's now a sin against God. It says, so will the Heavenly Father do unto you. It's a sin. See, unforgiveness is a sin. So the Father, pay attention, the Father will convince your heart, convict your heart if you might. He will hold you responsible for unforgiveness. Unforgiveness goes to the very root of the gospel. It goes to the very root of the gospel. It goes to the very faith that we believe, that we have received. It goes to the very faith. You know, this is different. You know, some say, this is different. This is a different thing entirely. Some say, it's different. It's totally different. What is totally different about it? It's between you and God now, the moment you're able on forgiveness. And don't forget, look at verse 35. There's something in there you need to notice. It says, if you don't forgive, where? Oh my God. From where? Have you done this before? You see? You. There, come, brother. You just go. Oh, no problem. No. Nobody will steal it. Put it back. Be cool, all right? You go. Oh. Bless you. You hug me. I'm cool. What's happening? So you go. It's all right. Bless you. Yeah, how you go? Yeah. So Jesus is not talking about hypocritical forgiveness. He says from your heart. Do you know your heart is that thing, or the time you are alone with yourself? No one's there. Only God knows what's from your heart. He says if from your heart you don't forgive, I know couples who will hold it, and they'll continue having kids for the man, right? They're having kids for the man, and they're bearing his name, and they're in the house. Then maybe after a while, they'll sit the children down. Let me tell you something about your daddy, your father. What my eyes see or saw, I had to endure. That man is heartless. And they go all sort of things. And those who do this sometimes can be the most religious people. But in their hearts, they hold just about everybody around them. Something is wrong. They have this against this, that against that person. He says, your father, my father, will do the same unto you. He's going to hold you for that from your heart. So say with me, forgiveness is not just an action. It's a motive. So you can have the right action, the wrong motive. Your heart must forgive. Amen. Your heart must forgive. It's not just your words that should forgive. It's okay, I'm fine. You know, So, if by the way some guys will forgive you, you know you're in trouble. It's okay, I'm fine. I said, there's no problem. Okay, I forgive. Okay. You know, my Jesus, help me, Lord. He goes, I'm okay. Oh, yes. I remember a couple I spoke with years ago. And the husband and wife, the husband wasn't a Christian. Well, he wasn't a Christian, but he was a deacon. All right, so let's go. No, that's all. Just fine. Just to let you know, he had an office in the church, but wasn't born again. But then, fine. So she had something he did. Then something funny. Don't let me say it on the pulpit. And then she brings food, and she's the one that attends my ministry, our fellowship, where I pastor, 95. She takes the food that she made for the man and threw it at him. The man missed it by an inch. The whole, you know, the dish and all that. Ah! Oh, God's in you. She said right now. And so there's a stepdaughter they had. She ran over to my house. She said, ah, brother, so-and-so, there's trouble, there's trouble. She said, sister, so-and-so, that's the sister in Christ, is about to kill. How do you hear that? Come on. See, sometimes he's about to kill, you know, the person is not a Christian. He's about to kill my daddy. So, here am I, man of God. I've run into. Where are they? I couldn't imagine what she was saying. Kill, kill, kill. You know, so I'm going, I ran up the stairs and I found out like this. She's saying, and the man saying, hey, and she's talking, the man's replying. In Christ Jesus. So I get there. So I said, calm down. I went for the man first. Said, calm down. Peace. So we sorted it out. Then everything's done. The woman goes, okay. Because of Jesus, I forgive you. I'm with Jesus. You know, where you see that as a pastor, you know your walk has not started. There's no better way for your works to burn than seeing such members. You go, wait for that time. Why burn my works right here? You know, just burn right in your presence. Say, well, she said it like in Yoruba. You know what they say? I'm pushing your eyes though. You know that? I'm pushing your eyes though, Pastor. If not for you, I know what I would have done. I said, don't do it. And I'm already tired. I'm seeing broken pieces on the floor. She throws it down. And I'm saying, holy God. Sunday evening, everybody's just coming back from church. And I'm going, oh Jesus, Jesus. And we sang last week, down in my heart, there is a nature of the And I remember my brother said, it's too down in her heart. That's why she didn't see it. That it is too deep in the heart, so she didn't find it where she needed the love, you know. So I'm thinking, maybe she's up in my heart should be better, you know. So you get it quickly. You know? So, you know, she goes, I'm forgiving you, okay? That's not forgiveness in your heart. That means when you are alone and she's not there, he's not there, nothing is in your heart. Praise God. Now God doesn't forgive us in His Word. Then when we get close to Him, as it were, He said, well, forget that one. The real thing there is this, I'm angry. No, His Word is what He does. Amen. And we trust Him for that. So if you don't forgive in your heart, where will the Father hold you? He's going to hold you in your heart. He's going to hold you the same way, you see now, that the King held that servant in your heart. She will hold you like this in your heart. You will never be comfortable with it. Because the Father isn't there. He's going to hold you like this in your heart. He's not going to punish you, put you in any bondage. He doesn't do that. He's going to hold you. He's going to make you uncomfortable. You won't be able to be comfortable with it. Ephesians 4:30. Are you in church? Ephesians 4:30. What does it say? It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Something grieving the Holy Spirit when you are playing the keyboard and somebody's crying. No, that's nonsense. Actually, it's the person who said you grieve the Holy Spirit that grieved the Holy Spirit. The word there is lupeo, L-U-P-E-O, to vex. It's used to make someone or something uncomfortable. So it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. What's he talking about? He says, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth towards others. Corrupt communication doesn't mean to sing, to say swear words. People think he's talking about using F words. No. He's not talking about using F words. He says, it talks about all that in chapter 5, verse 4, foolish talking, filthiness. But in this verse, he's saying that when you say things to people that destroy them, alright, that you say things that destroy them. And you have Christians who tell themselves, you will see how life will turn out for you. Christians say things like that. Some will say, well, even a husband can tell the wife, let's see how you will ever survive it. You know, and they say things like that. He says, no, let your word minister what? Minister what? Grace to your hearers. It will edify. So you must ensure that your words build people. That's what he's saying. And when your words don't build people and you speak out of anger, he says you grieve the Holy Spirit. You make the Spirit of God uncomfortable with it. So it's not saying, now using the F word is wrong, okay, because the F word is wrong, but he's not talking about using the F word, but rather using the F word towards someone. Some people do it. I know preachers will do it. It's not a shame, but they do it. So you must say things that edify, that build up, words that don't destroy. Pay attention. So it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let's take 31 together. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Rather, what do? Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake. So there will always be discomfort from the Father in your spirit every time that you don't forgive. There will be discomfort. You will be bound in your spirit. You will be uncomfortable in your spirit. Are you there? 1 John 3:20. Same thing. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us not, or condemn us, pardon me, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But look at 19. 19 says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And shall assure. The word to assure means to persuade your heart. It's the word petheo in the Greek. P-E-I-T-H-O. To persuade yourself. What's he talking about? He's talking about love. You know, he said, by the love of God, we assure our hearts. By what we do to work up. You can't afford to hate, you have to forgive. He said, if someone needs something, you love. How we know the love of God? Because he laid his life down for us. The 16th, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. When you do that, what do? You assure your heart. But when you don't do that, then your heart condemns you. Because you don't. And there's no believer that is comfortable in unforgiveness. He can hide it, he can pretend it, he can squeeze it away, but he knows in his heart that he's not comfortable. The minute you are comfortable with unforgiveness, I can tell you free of charge, you are not born again. If there is nothing in your heart that compels you to forgive, you can speak in all the tongues and tongues of angels, you are not born again. Because how do we know that we are passed from death to life? We love the brethren. Amen. We love the brethren. Say, I love the brethren. Check it out. I love the brethren. So the love of God is not just a code of moral behavior. The love of God is our nature. It's what we are. It's who we are. It's what we have. It's what we do. We forgive. Amen. I said amen. I told you, Jesus and hypocrites. Oh my God. Jesus was so strong against hypocrites. I mean, so strong against hypocrites. He told them one time, he said, judge you not, or you will be judged. The same measure that you judge others with, Matthew 7, 1 and 2, the same measure meted unto you. He said, if you have a skyscraper in your eye, and then you seek to correct someone who just has maybe a speck of dust. Speck of dust. You have a big in your eye. And sometimes it's because of what you have in your eye that you can see what is other people's eyes. So big. So huge. Because sometimes the most cruel people have the most judgmental. The master that is. You don't judge. In Luke 7, he sees a woman. The woman is a prostitute. Sounds like a prostitute. Oh yeah, prostitute. Who's a prostitute? A prostitute. Right. She's a prostitute. She comes to Jesus in the house of a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees go bonkers. Ah! Sugar man. So what's this? And she says, come you guys. Someone holds 100, someone holds 50. Who will love more? Peter said, well, I believe the one for 100. If I came to your house, you gave me nothing but a sick mother-in-law and nothing else. He said, but this woman hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. So, she has loved much, but she's forgiven much. That's a figure of speech. In other words, hypocrites don't think they were forgiven much. Hypocrites. I am not like this other person. I pay my tithes. Jesus is so hard. Tithes? Yeah, tithes. So it's really tight for the guy. I pay my tithes. I pass twice a week, precisely Wednesdays and Fridays. I am not like the fornicators. I'm not like the adulterers, the liars, and the these other guys. No, I'm not like this other person. He says, this guy's proud. This one is justified, this one is not. Hypocrite. That's what you are. And he was very tough against those guys. Very tough. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. So one of the reasons why we hate unforgiveness is hypocrisy. Is what? Say hypocrisy. You're just an hypocrite. That's it. Have you discovered that those people who are very judgmental, if they're going to ask for forgiveness of sins, they cry. Let's go. Matthew 21:31. You may not like this verse. It's fine. They say unto him, the first Jesus said unto them. Okay, let's start again. I think it will make sense. Verse 27. Neither tell I you by the authority I do these things. What think ye? Verse 38. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. And he said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said likewise, and he said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of them did the will of the Father? Which of the two? They said, of course, the first one. And then verse 31, Matthew 21. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that what? Oh, come on, man, be cool about this. Come on, let's go. Publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Oh my God, no wonder they killed our Lord. This is not good. Publicans, harlots, that's 419 and runs. Aristo and 419. I'm thinking, Jesus, are you figure of speech? He says no. You know, figure of speech? He says, no. Literal statement. He says, Aristos and then the Yahoo boss. I'm bringing it 2017 translation. Yahoo boss. That's what he means. Amen. He says, they're going far. How can they go in far? He says, look at the skyscraper in your eyes. Huh? He tells you why anyway. He's not saying they're going because they defraud. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, they say, why?
Say, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the Pharisees, and so the publicans and the harlots, believed him. And when you had seen it, repented not afterwards that he might believe.
So he's saying, because of faith, not because of change of conduct. Because of faith, they're going first. And then you think, it's those guys with long robes and crucifix, being rings, bless you, Shandai, amen, you know. He says they don't go in first. Faith. Not effort. I love the word going. Look at that word. Verse 31. They go in first. I would have had a problem with that word till I checked what it means. Here's the Greek word porago. P-R-O-G-A-G-O. P-R-O-A-G-O. It means they are led into. So when you have faith, you don't do it yourself. You are led into. They are led into the kingdom. In other words, they are brought into the kingdom not by the effort, but by the Spirit of God himself. So when you believe, you are helped. So when you believe, you are helped. So how much more? Now, if this is for God, how much more a trespass? How much more a trespass? Somebody will say, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. They go, we could never repay you, but from my heart. You like that song? You like that song? You like that song? You like the song? We could never repay you, but from my heart, you can say that I thank you. Because you know the number of things you could have paid. So you go, Lord, I've quit thinking about it. It's you. And someone does one thing, 10 years, you are still talking about it. I'm not saying I've not forgiven you. You say, I'm not saying. You think that forgiving is like just a word. Just say it. I'm not saying I've not forgiven you. Just talking about it. Just talking about it. You know, you are a hypocrite. Ask your neighbor, say, are you a hypocrite? James 5:15 says the same thing. He says, if he has any sins, it will be forgiven him by men. Okay? By men. Forgiveness in James 5:15 is by men. So, listen carefully and don't get scared. The scriptures teach that people can have personal conflict. I thought you were a Christian. You know, we say that oftentimes. What did you say? Some folks are, maybe there's a problem in their marriage, and then their husband, the lady I was counseling to. Sorry, I don't know why I'm talking about marriage a lot about this. I don't know, but Lord have mercy. You know, times when we're talking about walking in love, we're always talking about marriage. Who observed it? Why? What's going on? What's happening to you guys? Marriage? And then she said, this was our pastor. Man of God, my food. She said that. I allowed it to be for months. I told him that if there's anybody I know that for him, the gift of calling of God is with repentance, is you. So I asked her one day. I didn't want to get her angry, so I just said, because I don't want to have to add me to the list. So I said, my dear sister, you said to me that you received salvation on him. Yes, sir. You spoke in tongues. Oh. I guess it makes two. You received salvation under him. Then you spoke in tongues. And he spake. Oh, it makes two. No wonder we have had a problem getting you to forgive. It's all fake. But I didn't say that part. I held it in my heart. The Father held it in my heart. Lest I put the Father under duress. That was it! You know, in Christians can. When we're angry, I told you, when you are angry, say nothing. When you're angry, talk to yourself. Don't say, leave me alone, leave me. come, you again, come. Try and stop me from talking. Huh? No, don't have to say it. No, hold me. No, I'm going. Then he sold out. Limo. Born again. Holy Ghost. Let me say what I want to say. Why must you say thank you? Help me, sister.
The Father is holding me.
Why must you say it?
No! You should not think I'm a fool! Why do you think I'm a fool here?
You're not talking about the Holy Ghost.
No, you might think I'm a fool.
Somebody's fool. Amen. I've had someone tell another Christian,
and you stood there and he was saying that to you and you know it's not. Hey, Christian! Don't be stupid! Don't be stupid! Our God is not a supposable God. He's an active father. I heard someone say this. He said, God is a friend. When you are his friend, he's wonderful. When he is your enemy, you are in trouble.
You know, in this country, what the word of God is going, amen. Obviously, that's not the Father they're talking about. So
he goes, say your mind. You said nothing.
You give me a piece of your mind. As long as we have more than pieces, they have a lot. You're going to bind yourself.
Bind yourself. I bind myself.
You are bound. You know, your words can destroy your home. Can destroy your relationship. Can destroy your church. Can destroy your everything. Just what you say.
So, but I'm just expressing myself.
There's no scripture for expressing yourself. The scripture is for expressing the spirit.
But are you? This does not look like this. This is not the,
my business partner once told me this. He said, "Shepherd, you know you are a pastor. And so the way you respond, you talk like a pastor. I am an evangelist." I didn't understand that.
So we just did it raw. He thinks evangelist is the one that knocks me. I'm an evangelist.
I said, you don't walk away.
Someone bashed his car, was brand new car. He said, I said,
you are a pastor. I'm an evangelist. So let it go. Let's let it go.
Amen.
I've seen some folks, they're angry.
Pastor, you should go.
Let it go. So, Pastor, I'll arouse you.
Hallelujah. Are you following this?
You keep your mouth shut. Bind your mouth.
So, what's going on? So, some guys, sometimes some folks need to bind it literally. Unbelievable. But why are you doing this?
I know what I'm saying.
But I said, I know myself. Let me just keep it bound, literal bound binding.
Because the spirit alone cannot do this thing.
Have you ever tried to go to two believers to resolve a conflict? And you say, did you say that? You said all this?
Oh, Jesus. You just say, he didn't mean it.
Imagine!
Say, sir.
I told you.
Hallelujah. We're not of this world. Amen. Do you believe that? We're not of this world. Praise God.
Amen. So, there are personal conflicts in scripture. When it happens, what do I do? Why would Paul write Ephesians 4:25-32 if there are no conflicts? There will be conflict. People will say things you don't like. They'll do things you don't like. They will hurt you, as it were. They will insult you. Some folks can't take an insult. Eh? What did you say?
When they release what is in their mind, you say,
bro, what did you just say? They just go, bro, and he releases so much, you think,
thank God for salvation. The guy is fasting. And then someone annoys him.
He says,
on the 40th day or so. See,
there was a table in front. If I was not fasting, hell of fire! The table broke into the fire. Pastor said, keep fasting, please, keep fasting. Make sure you keep fasting.
You get some guys like that?
Amen. Praise God. See, I'm born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay now. Ephesians 4:27-32.
What's this?
Paul wrote that because we have conflicts. We have conflicts amongst ourselves. We have things happen between church members. We have folks. Don't ever think because you are in a local church, you can't have conflicts. There will be conflicts. What's a local church? A local church are people in a local place. Human beings. Human beings that do business together, talk with each other. I mean, we don't just pray. Even sometimes you can feel funny about the person leading prayer. And the guy says, please, can you go that way? Then you turn and say, And from that, you start to mean the person, you know, to mean. You know, we have Nigerian drama. I met you. You mean the person. To every juncture. The guy is sharing the word. If someone else is getting blessed, you go,
open to 1 Peter.
You're just stupid, really. You think God's going to look at your stupid mind to use anybody? You wait till kingdom come. Alright? Just know that we are bound to step on each other's toes. So wear a big shoe called advanced forgiveness. We will step on each other's toes. You guys will watch us say, I'm just going to be blessed here, man. Just the word no more. The word and the spirit. First day you're excited. Second week, things start happening. And they say they're a world church. No, they're a world church. Just a world church of human beings. Amen. Don't think because you're in business with a Christian or you're married to a Christian that it's going to be El Dorado. I'm marrying my best friend. You hear that often? Everybody's husband and wife is your best friend. It's good. I married my best friend. She is my heart. She's everything I wish for. If there were word. I don't know. I don't have them. I don't have them. I told you that the only legitimate place in scripture where you can lie is when you're talking to your spouse. It's biblical to say, you're the fairest of 10,000. How would Solomon say that? He has 1,000 folks. Okay, that's why I said 10,000. But he has a number of people. But it's allowed. Exaggeration is allowed to express love. But exaggeration is what it is. Exaggeration. Married to my best friend. Queen of my heart. You get married. You've not lived together before. You meet in church. Holy Ghost services. Camp meeting. They're all looking, and this brother just gives a word of knowledge. Mogo, Bage, oh, Amen. Till you live together. Oh, Jesus. How you say? Apokaluto. Penaruzi. Oh, Jesus. You go, ha! Hey! Many of us cannot handle familiarity because we have an expectation that is not spiritual. So we can't handle familiarity because we have an expectation that is not spiritual. Human beings are born again. Born again are human beings. Get that right. We have expectations that, you expect that your husband, oh my God, he will know when Nepal will take like a sense in my spirit to take it right now. I sense in my spirit that this is going to happen. I sense in it. You know, some guys will tell you, you're in the car, pastor, which road should we take? I said, what is the meaning of that? Which road should we take? You are the man of God. I sense in my spirit, man,
Don't take Ikorodu Road. Take something and think. Then when you get to Ikorodu Road, there's traffic. You say, the Lord said it's preventing something on something and think. You better quit it. You get it? So sometimes we have that expectation that is not spiritual. I told you the other time, have a tolerance for people to be at fault. Please. Okay? Is that clear? Allow people to be at fault. Don't say, hey, he can't do it. No, he must never be. He cannot be. She can't do it. She, no. And you say, no, no, but he did. Deal with it. Forgive. Amen. Look at Ephesians 4, quick. Paul says, look at verse 25. Put away lying, speak lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. How do you do that? I explain next week. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more than every rope his hands, that which is good. Then that which is good, that he may have to give him that is needed. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth towards people, that which is good to the youth of edifying, that may miss the grace unto the heavens. Creep not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith you are sealed in the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let's take 31 to chapter 5, verse 1 together. Let's go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven each other. 5 verse 1. Be ye followers of God as their children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for his sweet, swell faith. Colossians 3:13 says the same. When you have quarrel, forgive. So if we are both normal Christians, we forgive together. Is that clear? Don't allow hurt to last a day. It will become really hurting. Don't allow it to last a day. Call the person. Make a phone call. I've had times where a pastor, a preacher, whoever will make a comment about me. If I have access to the person, I pick my phone immediately. I've done that for several preachers. I know many pastors don't do it, but I don't care. I'll pick my phone immediately. Sir, that's not about doctrinal issues. Doctrinal issues and personal issues, so I don't really care what someone thinks about them, teaching or not. That's not the point. But if someone feels offended, and a pastor said that about me, I say, hey, you said, well, I heard you said this about me. I said, well, where is where? He said, he heard something. I said, if you can locate where I said it, I will personally apologize to you before the whole world. Ah, no, 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 no. I won't do that. I will do that. Because I must make sure that we are not apart. We might not agree on the same thing. We might not preach the same thing. We might not even believe who Jesus is together. Right? But we are born again. But then we must not be found having personal fallout that we can resolve. And he thanked me for the call. And I called other people. I said, hey, what's it? And I always do that. I'll call you. And I'll tell you. Immediately, I don't allow it to fester one day. Pick my phone, I'll tell you. You may not like it, but I'll tell you. Amen. I might tell my wife yesterday, I said, look, don't wait till 1 week before you tell me the least of my sins. I sin a lot. But don't. Why do you have to wait till it's one page? Do it daily, so that one sentence per day. But when you wait for 1 week, you say, well, on Monday, on Tuesday, I just go. How can I ever make it? So you must ensure that every day there's something. It can happen every day. See, look, don't raise expectations too high. Offenses happen daily. Daily. He says something you don't like. He puts something somewhere. You know, you just know that every day of your life, you are bound to forget. Amen. Are we in church? So what do we do? You see, consolation is taught. How do we do it? What do we do? Matthew 5. Matthew 5. What's the first thing I do? What's the first thing I do? We're going to look at this more closely next week, but let's just review this. Verse 44. I say unto you, love your enemies. So I say love. He says, love your enemies. This person, he says, love.
The word love there is the word agapao, which is actually what you should do. Agapao, A-G-A-P-A-O. It means to esteem and treat highly. Also, agapao means to wish well and make a sacrifice for. Amen. Sacrifice. That means you will do what the person doesn't deserve. Love your enemy. What's the first thing he says about loving your enemies? He says you will bless. Don't say bless. Bless is the Greek word, eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-O. You don't like that, really? It's not something that's nice to the flesh. It means to eulogize. Ah! He says, bless those who curse you. Someone is cursing you, and you have to eulogize the person. Jesus Christ! Yes, son. You eulogize. Eulogio. It means to say, the word eulogio means to say something praiseworthy. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God, same word. 1 Corinthians 14:16, you're blessed with the spirits, giving of thanks, same word. Eulogize the person. Bless and curse not. So I say, bless and curse not. How do you bless? James 3:9, he says, with your mouth, with your word. You're just blessed. You're blessed. Say with me, I cannot curse. Say like we say, I cannot curse. I can't wish evil. I'm not born that way. Not born that way. Never born that way. No, not born that way. Someone told me about someone who broke up with him. He said, it's in this world she will see why it's not happening. It's in this world. I said, calm down. What are you trying to say? She will see. Then he said, I saw a vision that she's struggling to have a kid. I said, bros, huh? She'll have children. You will have your own. Everybody will be fine. Her having children does not stop you from having children. Why must one stop the other? You are only hurt. She has children. He has his own. And the whole world is at peace. Do you know your being blessed doesn't mean another can be blessed? So why would someone not be blessed because he offended you? That really means, I'm talking about naturally now, that means that it's really an evil heart. Amen? So, he says you bless with your words. Bless, look at Romans 12. Bless and curse. Now put your hands in Matthew 5. But go to Romans 12. Bless and curse not. Say, I don't curse. Romans 12 and then verse 14. Bless them that persecute you. You bless and curse not. You don't bless and curse. The first thing you do, Matthew 5, you bless. The second thing you do good. So they do good. Do good means kindness. The Greek word kalon. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. The word despitefully is to insult you and molest you. To insult you and molest you is the Greek word eperezo. E-P-E-R-E-Z-A-O. To molest you, to insult you, to really insult you. Now, there are some insults that go into your bones. The person says something that is real. Say, eh? You know, imagine if you're not doing fine in school, they say, oh, Lodo. Ah! That can't pay you. That's all she knows. Ah! I mean, and it could be very hard. Or maybe somebody you told something you had done in the past that was not too good, a Christian, and then then mentions it, or she mentions it. You go, ah. The thing goes inside. But he says, you will do good to them. Amen. Wow! I don't know about you, that's not good to the flesh. Okay, it's easy. In the spirit, it's easy. But in the flesh, you see this person's picture, and you wish that from nowhere,
soldier hands with all. That just sees it full of soldier hands.
Yes, praise the Lord. We give you praise, our Father. You look at it. You feel.
He says, you got to do good. Do good. You know, I can, it's easy to do good to those who do good to me. In fact, you'll be excited. Oh, Don't mention. But someone does evil to you, please mention. You better mention, or else I'll take it back.
He says, you do good to them. Amen. He says, you pray. Praise God. Do good to them. Oh, I think I missed some manner. Do good to them that hate you, sorry. Then pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the word, right one. Just, I mixed it up. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Imagine someone said, if he said, the Bible says, pray for them. He didn't tell you what to pray about. That's a very smart preacher. Oh. What do I pray for? Pray the Pauline prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Yeah. Pray all the Pauline prayers. Philippians 4:19. My God. Don't pray in tongues. If you pray in tongues, you won't affect your mind. Pray in understanding. Don't say, okay, let me just pray in the Spirit. Because the way it is, that's me in the Spirit. You're praying in tongues, your mind is going, ooh. You're praying in understanding. You go, I bless you. Imagine picking your phone and calling someone who just did hated you and just cursed you. You say, you are a great man. Amen. And you are blessed. Your family is blessed. You are healed in your body. You're a great man. Now I believe God, you're a blessing to the body of Christ. Your mind is going, I don't know. Are we really saying this? Are we acting it? No, we're not acting it. This is who we are. Just like our Father. Amen. We pray for them. Listen now. When the church was under persecution, they prayed and they said, behold their threatenings. There was not a single oxen of arm against their persecutors. There was no fall down, die, paralyzed. Some guy said, no. We are not asking people to die. It's the spirits. That's even worse. That we're asking to die. They say, any woman in my village standing against my promotion, die. 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 Die by fire, paralyzed. Ground to powder. Those things are very evil. I can't imagine someone saying, no, ground to powder. So say, ground to powder and let a trailer. After someone has died, paralyzed, is demolished, ground to powder again. Those things are demonic. They prayed for Peter's release. Same thing. Amen. We are just like our Father. We are just like our Father. We are just like our Father. So when you are praying, don't just pray for pastor. Let's pray for pastor. That the ministry. Let's pray for. There are other people to pray for. Not just for those in your zone. Pray for someone who just hurt you. Lift your voice and pray. Pray for him. Don't say, I pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen. About what? No, I just pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God. I pray. No. You pray. You pray for his family, for his job, for his health, for his ministry. Because you are the stronger one. Amen. You are the stronger one. By praying for him, you bind unforgiveness and you lose forgiveness. Why do we do this? Verse 45. That you may be, right? Verse 45. The children of your Father. Say, I am his Son, who is in heaven. For he makes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So what it means, we'll go to this shortly. You must take the initiative. Don't wait till the person does something. You must be the one to initiate the action. Remember our definition of walking in love. What's it again? Walking in love is a spiritual initiative that you undertake. You are the one that will do something. You are the one that will pray. If someone needs to tell you to pray for someone who hurt you, then you are still an immature Christian. If you need to be told, just know. I've told you many times. One of the ways we know maturity is how you walk in love. How you walk in love. I think I mentioned this last week as well. That sometimes we get the places where we might not even walk in love are areas of forgive, are areas where we're very familiar with the person. You have to be careful. Your siblings, your husband, your wife, your children. You think you are too familiar to walk in the spirit with this person. But hey, that's where you ought to walk in the spirit. You think, we're too familiar. You will be too familiar to remember that this is a human being, this is a brother, this is a sister in Christ. You must watch it. Sometimes also in church, you get so used to someone, boy, it's my leader, boy, it's a member, boy, I'm his pastor. And you forget that whether you are his pastor or her pastor, or whether you are his, under the person that has a flock, you still hold a responsibility to walk in love and forgive. It doesn't change because of status. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? It does not change. And we need to all check ourselves and watch ourselves. Because if you guys have the law of our nature, is it on the screen? Can you have it? We'll have it. We'll read it together. Do you have it? You guys have it? Okay, well, I'll tell you to put it on when it's time. So, we are like our father. We're not trying to be like Mahatma Gandhi or Napoleon Bonaparte. No, we're not trying to be like Mussolini. We're not trying to look like Haolo. I love Haolo a lot. So for me to mention his name, it means a lot. We're not trying to be like anybody. We're not trying to be like one politician who we know, I hate this politician for gift. We're not trying to, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, come on. We're not trying to be like Mother Teresa. No. We are like our Father. Amen. That's what we are. We are like our Father who treats everyone the same way. Watch this. This is vital. Ephesians 4:32. Forgive as God has forgiven you in Christ. Ephesians 5:1. Look at Ephesians 5:1. Be ye imitators of God as their children. The word imitators is the word to mimic. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Mimetes. To mimic. To do what someone does. To take after. So the first way to walk in love is to first of all see God as doing it towards us. So if you don't appreciate what God has done in Christ towards us, you can't walk in love. Walking in love is rooted in first of all receiving God's love for you, then walking in the same. If you still think that if you don't see God as who God says He is in Christ, you can't walk in love. You must first of all recognize what He has done for us in Christ. Then based on that, you reproduce what He does or what He has done. Amen. See, I imitate God. The word there is from another word that means to mimic, all right, to do what someone does, just how He does it. We can follow God, or we can be told to follow God, except the fact that we have His Spirit. I'm close. Now go back to Matthew 5. It says, who makes his rain and his sun to bless? In other words, the love of God is unconditional. It's without partiality. You will forgive everybody the same way. You will forgive everybody the same way. The love of God is unpartial. In any way. So tonight, you know, you can pray for someone that has hurt you. You can. You can pray for someone who did something wrong to you today. You read what the person said about you. or you heard it, saw it, or you said it directly to you, or it hurt your business interest, hurt your academic interest. I know people who will go all the way to make sure you fail. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen well. You need to just show to the flesh that you are born of the Spirit. Do not be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. I bind myself to forgive. So with me, I bind unforgiveness. I lose forgiveness. I bind myself from holding hurt against people. And I lose whoever has hurt me from any form of offense. I walk in love. I don't grieve the Holy Spirit because my nature is God. I walk in love. I walk in love. I walk in love. Amen. Is that stuff we say together? You can be seated. Quickly, we're done. Quickly. Amen. This is something we did last year where we're teaching the series on the love walk. Amen. We do it. We teach the love of God every year. So let's go. The love of God is my nature. I am God's workmanship, His masterpiece, His son and His seed in Christ. Go on. Created unto good works towards others. In this I walk in love. I imitate Him. I'm just like my Father. Go on. I am patient. I am kind. I endure long. I'm never envious of anyone, nor boil over in jealousy towards anyone. I am not boastful towards others. I am not rude, nor do I dishonor others. I do not insist on my rights, because I am not self-seeking, nor selfish, not always wanting to have my way. Go on. Hence, I am not stubborn, but kind-hearted. I put others first before myself. I never find excitement or joy at injustice, but only when truth and righteousness prevail. Go on. I am capable of enduring anything and conducting. Alright. I am never ready to believe the very best of every person. My hopes about others are faithless. Under all circumstances and situations, it never weakens. Go on. I cover the multitude of sins of others. I'm never quick to expose or discuss others' faults. These traits are natural to me. I don't fail in my love walk. I win all the time as I walk in love. And God, not me, is glorified. Amen. Come on, pray for someone tonight. Just pray for someone.